Good morning. So good to see each of you here today. Thankful for those that are able to get back out finally, and we pray that you continue to be in good health. We welcome you back. Those that are still unable to attend, we look forward to the time when we can welcome you back here personally as well. This morning we're going to be looking at the eighth chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written by Solomon, most likely to his son Rehoboam. It contains many warnings against the follies of life, many of which are in regard to his relationship with the fairer sex, if only Solomon had taken his own advice. But, one of my teachers in preaching school would like to remind us guys that the three most dangerous things to a preacher and his reputation are, number one, a woman, number two, a woman, number three, a woman. So the point is be careful in your relationships with those of the opposite sex, especially those you are not married to. And so Solomon likewise gives a warning to his son against immorality and the immoral woman. You know, the immoral woman who seduces with her beauty and with flattery. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 24 and 25, it says there, "To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." And so wisdom is contrasted here, as we're going to see. Wisdom is portrayed as a woman in contrast to the woman that seduces with beauty and flattery, in contrast to the woman who is in the open square, that she is lurking on the corners. In Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 12, it says, "Now is she without, now in the street, and lieth in wait in every corner." And so while Solomon warns his son against the embraces of an immoral woman, he encourages him to embrace another woman. And that woman is wisdom personified. As we're going to see in Proverbs chapter 8, similar to what is said in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. We'll get some slides out of the order from what I thought they were. Anyway, we'll go back. I have to skip back, but here at Proverbs 1, verses 20 to 23, says, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets, she crieth in the chief places of the concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, I will make known my words unto you." And so wisdom is crying in the streets, crying out to those that would listen, is pleading with us to listen to what wisdom has to say. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Again, she crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men." And so wisdom is calling, wisdom is pleading. Now what is wisdom as defined in Vine's dictionary? The Hebrew word here comes from a Hebrew adjective that refers to the skill of a craftsman. It's synonymous with skillful. And so it's like the master of stonemasonry or carpentry. When you look blacksmithing videos and woodcrafting videos and on YouTube, and I'm really fascinated at some of the things that people are able to do. How they can design the wood, and they can cut the wood in such a way and put it all together, and you see there's great skill in that, and you see there is great wisdom in the design of that, and that's where this word translated wisdom comes from. It's looking at the skill involved in something. And so in a religious sense, God is the source of wisdom. It comes from God. True wisdom is of God. The man or woman who, fearing God, lives in accordance with what God expects and what is expected of him as a God, in a God-fearing society, is viewed as an integrated person. He is wise in that his manner of life projects the fear of God, and the blessing of God rests upon him. Even as the craftsman is said to be skillful in his trade, the Old Testament word here, shakam, was learning and applying wisdom to every situation in life. And the degree in which he succeeded was a barometer of his progress on the road to wisdom. You know, wisdom, simply put, is the knowledge and ability to make the right choice at the opportune time. You know, I'm amazed at watching blacksmiths, how they know right exactly when to strike the metal. You know, they strike it at just the right time. They know exactly how hard to hit it. They know exactly what temperature by looking at the color of the metal, and they hit it just right. There is that striking while the iron is hot, so to speak. And so that's what wisdom is knowing to do the right thing at the right time. The consistency of making the right choice is an indication of maturity and development. The prerequisite for wisdom, though, is the fear of the Lord. In Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know, again, another definition of wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We've got to know that first. Wisdom, often in the Old Testament, is personified as a woman. Here in our text of Proverbs chapter 8, she is personified as a woman. What does she have to say? And why should we listen to her? Let's first notice her plea. The plea of wisdom in verses 1 through 11. You know, she desires to be heard. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors." So she cries to be heard. She's crying out, lifting up her voice. Not lurking in the corner. Notice she is in the open. Not like that woman of Proverbs chapter 7 that lurks in the corner. She is in the open. Openly calling for those to hear her on top of the hill, beside the way where the paths come together. By the gates of the entry of the city, she calls. She wants to be heard. God's wisdom needs to be heard by all. She desires not just to be heard, but to be heard by everyone. Proverbs 8, verses 4 and 5, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." You know, she wants all men to hear. The simple ones and the fools especially need it the most. She desires to be heard by all. She desires to impart great things, excellent things. Verse 6, "Hear, for I will speak of thee of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things," excellent things, right things, all things that are pure, all things that are holy. She wants to be heard. Words of truth and righteousness. Verse 7 and 8, "My mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them." She wants to offer great things, to impart great things to us. Things that are simple and plain to be understood, verse 9. "They are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." You know, this wisdom that she has to offer is greater to us, a greater treasure to us than anything earth could offer. In verses 10 and 11, "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. All the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." There is no greater treasure upon the earth than the wisdom that God has to offer to you and I. Wisdom is crying out to be heard by everyone, to share things of great value, to share the great news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She is crying out to share these things with her. Will we listen to her? Also, let us notice the value of wisdom. Value of wisdom, beginning in verse 12. We see the value of wisdom in what she has, what she possesses. In verse 12, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. She has prudence, knowledge, and discretion. The fear of the Lord prompts her to hate pride in the perverse mouth, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And so she dwells with wisdom and prudence, and she hates the things that are opposed to God. Pride and the evil mouth. So many people, that they gain that worldly wisdom and they get lifted up with pride. Look how much I've achieved. Look how smart I am. I believe that was Solomon fell victim to that himself. But here, true godly wisdom, it's not like that. It is something more pure, more beautiful than that. It is sound wisdom. It is counsel. It is understanding. It is strength. Verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Verse 14, counsel is mine. And sound wisdom, I am understanding, I have strength. To counsel is to impart wisdom. We counsel people, we give them, we share our wisdom with them. Wisdom wants to counsel us. Wisdom wants to share what she has with us. And so we see the value in what she possesses. We see the value of wisdom in what wisdom gives. In verse 15 and 16, it says, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. And so all of those that judge righteously, they use wisdom, they have that wisdom. This is how it ought to be, that kings and princes should rule out of wisdom. You think about it, if every member of our government led from God's wisdom, how great a country it would be. To all who love her, riches, honor, justice, and wealth is what she gives. Verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's a great promise there. If we seek God's wisdom, he says, we will find it. She will be found. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Not worldly riches, not worldly possessions, but all the spiritual things, all the wonders of God's spiritual gifts and blessings shall be ours if we seek that wisdom, if we gain that wisdom. Verse 19, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. And so over and over we see the value of wisdom. It grants us those spiritual pearls, those spiritual riches. As Jesus tells us that we're to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where the things of the earth, moth and dust and rust, corrupt and break and don't corrupt, and where thieves don't break through and steal. That's applying godly wisdom. And so we see the value of wisdom. We see what she has to offer. Shouldn't we want to hear more? There is the possession of wisdom in verse 22 to 31. What does she possess, or where does this wisdom originate? Who possesses this wisdom? First of all, it was possessed by the Lord from eternity. Before even the creation, God in His wisdom knew all. He had that great wisdom. It says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of the way. Before His works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. You know, at the beginning of His way, before He did those mighty works of creation, from everlasting, before there was even an earth, wisdom was with God. Before the depths of the water, before the mountains or the hills, it existed with God. Before the earth was created, the very beginning, God possessed wisdom. And that same wisdom that God has, He is offering to us. We may not know, we're not going to know everything, certainly, that God knows. But the wisdom of His love, the wisdom that He is offering to help us to go to heaven, is ours for the taking. If we will just open up and study from His Word. We see the possession of wisdom by the Lord in His acts of creation. Verse 27, it says, where's that here? Verse 25, we'll back up just a little bit. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, wisdom brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. For when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the waters should not pass from commandments, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And so, again, we see when He prepared the heavens, when He created the world, she was with Him. Like that master craftsman, rejoicing in His creation. God rejoiced in His wisdom. You know, the wisdom utilized by God in the creation of the heavens and the earth is the voice crying out for us to hear. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament declares His handiwork. We look at the heavens and we know there is a God. We can see the wisdom. We can see the skill. We can see the art that is involved in the creation of all things that the Lord has created. And we can know that He is. And we can look to the gospel and know that He loves us and that He wants us to spend eternity with Him. And so He cries out, the wisdom that God is offering cries to us. If we have ears to hear, shall we not listen? We see, finally, the blessedness of wisdom in verses 32 to 36. The blessedness that comes for those willing to keep her ways in verse 32 and 33. Now therefore hearken to me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. You know, blessed, happy, spiritually blessed are those that keep her ways, that follow the teachings of wisdom. Those who are willing to keep their ways, they are blessed, they are happy, they are spiritually fulfilled. And so, hear her instruction and be wise. Don't disdain it, don't turn it away, don't refuse to listen. And so the blessedness of wisdom comes to those who are willing to keep her ways and those who are willing to listen with intensity. Verse 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All ye that hate me love death. When we listen, again, that's when the blessings come. When we listen and heed and hear and apply God's wisdom to our lives, great blessings come. You know, we're to watch for it daily, wait for it daily. We're to be intense in our study of God's Word and the application of His wisdom. You know, we watch for it daily, we wait. We find favor. Are they that find it find favor? They find life. That comes from the Lord. Jesus came so that we could live life and live it more abundantly. Spiritually, so that we can be restored to God, to that right relationship with Him. We find favor when we apply the wisdom of God's Word to our lives. Unlike those that sin against their own soul, they love death. You think about that. If we don't accept God's wisdom, if we don't love God and we don't love His wisdom, we love death. Because death, all have died in their sins. The only way to be saved is through the wisdom of God, applying the teachings of the gospel. To not do so indicates that we love death rather than life, when life is right there for us to take. So wisdom cries out to be heard. Wisdom cries to share understanding and knowledge of truth and righteousness. To bless our lives with riches and honor, especially those offered by the Lord. And so who are we going to listen to? Are we going to listen to that one lurking in the corner whose house is on the way to hell? Proverbs 7:27. Or are we going to listen to the woman standing at the top of the high hill by the open gates crying out to give us the great blessings of God? Well, the answer ought to be obvious. Proverbs 8:24. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. God's wisdom cries to us. You know, God's wisdom, the only true wisdom comes from God. We see that very clearly in the gospel. As we close this morning, let us look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says there, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified unto the Jews, a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." God's wisdom is so far exceeding the wisdom of man, it's nothing in comparison. You know, man may laugh, man may scoff at the wisdom of God sending His Son, coming in the flesh Himself, in the person of His Son, to die upon the cross for those that don't deserve it. Yet God's wisdom is so great, and it motivates Him to such great love, that He was willing to go to such great lengths to save you and me from our sins, especially because we don't deserve it. Wisdom pleads with us. Wisdom cries out for us. Today, God's wisdom is pleading with you. The gospel, we believe it. And if we will allow that belief to transcend just a mental acceptance and be applied in our lives. Again, you know, knowledge, our wisdom is knowledge applied. Faith is knowledge of God and recognition of God's saving grace and what He has done. But true wisdom is making the proper application of those things, where that faith becomes action. You know, that faith must change our lives, cause us to want to repent. We must repent. We can't go on sinning. Repent of our sins. Confess that we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Not be ashamed of that. Not be ashamed to admit God's wisdom. Even though the Jews, the Jews and Gentiles alike may scoff at it. Not be afraid. Confess that I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized to have your sins washed away. That is the wisdom of God. Again, the man says it's foolish. You know, what does going under the water have to do with anything? God's wisdom is beyond our understanding. We do what He says and have that simple faith. That if I do as He says, He will do as He has promised. This morning, wisdom is pleading. What will your answer be? Will you accept and come to Christ? Will you repent if you are a Christian who has gone astray? Today, if you're subject to invitation, if there's anything we can do to help you to respond to the Lord's call, please let us know as together we stand and as we sing.